Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
The headlines late last week, President Biden gave Iran a one-word warning about attacking Israel. Don't. Over the weekend, Iran did in a major way. So what should Israel and the U.S. do in response? The deeper dive into the question of retaliation or restraint. Let's start with that. Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
In a significant attack over the weekend, over 300 missiles, drones, ballistic missiles fired from inside Iran at Israel. All, of course, were either taken down or deflected off somewhere else. And we want to dive in kind of underneath the headlines in terms of what happens and what happens now. In particular, I thought it was interesting. The president, of course, leading into the weekend was very stern and very specific to Iran. Don't do it. And they did. And now the president is calling for restraint for Israel. And I'm one who believes in restraint, and we have to unpack it in terms of what does that actually mean? And will that serve as a deterrent? Will that further galvanize those against Iran? What does it mean to the region as a whole? So there's a lot to unpack. And before we even begin this course, I want to just caution everyone. We have to walk this stuff through slow. It's so easy to get to the sensational. It's so easy to get just to the headlines. It's so easy to conflate different things, this and that, and who did what, and yeah, but, and all of that. And so we want to take a very methodical approach. We're going to start with just a breakdown of some of the things that we do know. And then we're going to be joined coming up at 1:20 by Robert Sherman from News Nation, who is inside of Israel, who will give us some insight and perspective in terms of what's happening there. So we want to look at all the angles, all the things that are happening, and things to consider. There's just a lot to think through. Of course, this is a region that has had its problems for thousands of years now. And so none of it's going to be solved swiftly, but it should be done strategically. And so let's get some of the things that we do know on the table. Strategic Communication Director for the White House, John Kirby, appeared, I think, on every possible news network over the weekend. He also appeared on CNBC early this morning to talk about the developing situation. Here's how he characterized the conversation between President Biden and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over the phone on Saturday after the attack.
The president's message to Prime Minister Netanyahu on Saturday night when they spoke was, first of all, congratulations for an incredible military achievement that Israel and its partners accomplished in defending Israeli sovereignty and the Israeli people, but also to the message that it sends to the world that Israel's not alone and that they are superior and that Iran completely, utterly failed.
So those were important messages coming out of the White House, and just want to unpack a couple of those, I think, that are important. So one, it was very clear, and in a number of the reports that have come out about the conversation between the president and the prime minister, President Biden was very emphatic to his counterpart, to Prime Minister Netanyahu, saying, take the win. In other words, in his call for restraint, the president was saying, you won. You won the round. You showed Iran, who I think had miscalculated, thinking perhaps that because of what's happening in Gaza and the battle against Hamas, that Israel and the prime minister, for that matter, were very isolated on the world stage. And yes, that has been happening with the escalation in Gaza, the need to get aid in there to innocent civilians. They were becoming increasingly isolated. But it was very clear that they are not that isolated. The fact that the United States and Great Britain and France, as well as Jordan and other Middle East partners, came and were part of shooting down those 300-plus things that were fired into Israel from Iran. And so that's an interesting component, that the president is saying, Mr. Prime Minister, take the win. You won. You showed that Israel is not isolated. You also showed great capability and capacity in terms of defense, and also proved that Iran was ineffective in what they were trying to do. Now, on Meet the Press yesterday, John Kirby was asked if the attack had was going to spark a wider war in the Middle East, and here's how he responded.
The president doesn't believe that it needs to move in that direction whatsoever. Very little got through, and the damage was extraordinarily light. And also, Israel demonstrated again, as I said, that they're not standing alone, that they have friends. The president's been clear, we don't want to see this escalate. We're not looking for a wider war with Iran. Know that the president is working the diplomatic side of this personally. In fact, today, just a little bit later today, he's going to call the G7 together to talk about a diplomatic response.
So looking at how things progress, I think, is the important component to all of this. I thought it was interesting that we had our friend, of course, University of Utah law professor Amos Giora was on KSL News Radio earlier today with Dave and Dejanovic talking about really this lose-lose scenario that Iran had launched and that they had just failed geopolitics 101 in terms of what they launched and what they were actually up against. But I think the interesting thing in all of that is I think the Ayatollah Khomeini was really banking on this idea that the United States was not focused on this, that the supreme leader was really feeling that there wouldn't be a response, that there wouldn't be this kind of rallying around Israel. And so I think in that they definitely miscalculated thinking that they would be able to just do that. There was a lack of resolve. That's sort of been the bet, I think, by Khomeini, is that there's a lack of resolve in the region, especially from the United States. And clearly that's not how things played out over the weekend. Now, I think the test will be what comes next. And so during the White House press briefing today, there was a really interesting exchange between John Kirby and a reporter who asked if America was giving Iran a free pass and free rein to act without consequences. Listen to this exchange.
John, just one day before the attack, President Biden issued a warning to Iran, don't. And now the U.S. is not taking any part in an Israeli reprisal. So does that signal to Iran that it can defy the U.S. without facing any consequences?
I don't know, man. If I'm sitting in Tehran and I'm taking a look at what just happened on Saturday night, I don't think I'd be betting that the United States is not willing to get engaged here and help defend Israel. I mean, you had American fighter pilots in the air, in combat operations, shooting down drones and missiles that were heading towards Israel, as well as U.S. Navy destroyers at sea, knocking them down from there. So the message should be very clear to anybody. When the president says we're going to take our commitments to the region seriously, when we're going to help Israel defend itself, we got skin in the game and we proved that.
Interesting words from John Kirby from the podium just about an hour ago, talking about how things were playing out and what really comes next. It's been very interesting. All of the calls from the international stage have been restraint. And I am one who believes restraint works. There also has to be consequences. And I think this is one of those that's going to get more complicated before it gets more clear. And Israel has remained and retained its right to defend, protect, and be its own deterrent. Sometimes I think the administration, in its desire to de-escalate, has not put strong enough deterrence in place for actors like Iran. Now, we're going to stay with the conversation. When we come back, Robert Sherman from News Nation is going to join us live from Israel. We'll get some response there. And then coming up in hour number two, we're actually going to look at an interesting byproduct of all of this that may actually be a benefit both to Benjamin Netanyahu, the embattled prime minister, and also right here at home with Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. So stay with us. Much more to come on Inside Sources.
Think again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson. Get deeper insights on the news from Inside Sources.
Welcome back to Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. It's great to be with you today. As always, I am Boyd Matheson. We're staying with the conversation just a little bit longer as it relates to the Middle East and what Israel may do in response to Iran's latest attack. And we're really pleased and grateful once again to have back on the program with us Robert Sherman from News Nation. He is the best of the best. He's dialing in from Israel. And Robert, give us a quick sense of what is the mood, what is the feeling on the ground as you've watched over the last 24 hours?
Yeah, I guess the best way to do that, Boyd, is to compare it to October 8th when I got in here after the October 7th attack. I mean, you know, 6-7 months ago, there was a lot of anxiety and tension on the ground. People didn't know what the next couple of days were going to bring, but they did have a broader understanding that there would be war with Hamas. I mean, there was just so much anxiety here. This go around, it's very different. I mean, you still have anxiety, but I think something to notice is that Israel is a unique country in that the average citizen has an above average understanding of warfare and military capabilities. And why that's significant is that you have a country such as Iran, which Israel is potentially tangling with, which has significantly more firepower than Hamas does. So people recognize that a war with Iran would look very different. So people here are hoping that the situation yields a positive result. Now, that being said, in the wake of that attack on Saturday here, pretty much everybody on the ground is in agreement that from their perspective, that was unacceptable, that that was a violation of sovereignty, and there has to be some kind of a response. But war is a game of chess. And if you overplay your hand too much, well, then you have a very different situation. So it's a game of trying to weigh reestablishing deterrence with avoiding sparking the powder keg that is the Middle East right now. That's kind of the sentiment that is on the minds of many people.
Yeah, that restraint versus retaliation and doing that in that chess-like manner, I think, is the real test. And I think it's been so interesting. One, I think Iran clearly underestimated how isolated Israel was, and in particular, the prime minister. And I really wanted to ask you, Robert, what's the sense on the ground? Obviously, Benjamin Netanyahu has been in a pretty tenuous spot of late, even having some of the hostage families joining some of the protesters against the government. Did Iran just give him a chance to maybe be emboldened a little bit, or at least get his sea legs a little bit in terms of what he does next?
I mean, maybe. I mean, here's the deal is that, I mean, there has been for months, you know, sowed dissent against the prime minister. And a lot of people blame October 7th on him. I think that there needs to be a day of accountability. But there is also, you know, there are some who are calling for early elections, but there are also a lot of people here who believe in the old adage of don't change horses midstream and ride this out and get through the crisis that is at hand and then have the conversation where the country proceeds forward. There really aren't a lot of leaders in Israel right now who have the experience for a situation like this other than Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, you could make an argument for Benny Gantz.
Yeah.
But, I mean, aside from that, I mean, it's a pretty short list, all things considered. So it is quite possible. But, I mean, I'd say that there is that broader sentiment of people do want a sense of accountability but want to get through the situation that's at hand.
Yeah, no question about that. And as you get a sense for the reaction to the U.S. reaction, obviously the U.S. response in terms of being part of that coalition with the U.K. and France, Jordan, and some of the other allies there in the Middle East in responding there. And then sort of the mixed messages from the Biden administration of the don't to Iran and then restraint to Israel, getting, you know, sending fighter jets, but also condemning it. What is the sense on the ground in Israel in terms of, is the U.S. really there for Israel, or is there some confusion or lack of clarity in terms of, do we really have an ally in the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, that is something that people are talking about here because, I mean, you hear these statements like we're with Israel shoulder to shoulder, you know, and our resolve and our alliance is ironclad. But then you hear statements that make it conditional. You know, I mean, it is really only on the defensive sphere. If Iran attacks Israel, we're with you. If you attack Iran, we're not going to help you on that front. I mean, that is definitely a factor that goes into this conversation about how exactly is Israel going to respond to this attack on Iran, because I mean, it's possible that they're going to be on their own, you know, when all is said and done here. So, I mean, that's a big part of this here. I mean, I would say that there are so many competing sentiments on the ground. Is that, I mean, there are some here in Israel who believe that some kind of a strike like this, a massive strike, is necessary, but there are others who are worried about what the days after will look like. This all plays into that.
Yeah, give me a sense of, I think you framed that so perfectly, Robert, in terms of those competing sentiments I spent an hour this morning just trying to figure that out myself in terms of, you know, you go headlines and kind of the hyperbole stuff at the top level. But then you've got some real practical, tactical stuff that you've got to get to as well. Anything else that you're sensing over there or anything surprising to you as you've been back on the ground inside of Israel?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of context here. The average Israeli, you know, I mean, views Iran as this effective puppet master. And there are some people here in Israel who've been saying for years, you know, thump Iran as hard as possible, you know, and this, you know, to an extent, it, you know, provides Israel with a green light in order to satisfy some of those desires. Because, I mean, there is this belief that, I mean, point to a source of tension in the region, the Houthis in Yemen, Hezbollah, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, follow the breadcrumbs back to Tehran. That's what a lot of people look at here. Now, that being said, you know, while there might be that desire from some people on the ground here to be proactive and, you know, carry out preemptive measures against Iran, there are others who think that, you know, I mean, maybe in the long run, that's not the best course of action. Because, again, I mean, you are talking about a much more formidable foe here. I mean, to give you an example, I mean, I'm standing here in Tel Aviv right now. There are people at the beach all day today. You know, I mean, it's like now that the war with Hamas has gotten to this point, you know, I mean, the Iron Dome has been very effective. Hamas's capabilities have been destroyed. People are starting to feel comfortable returning to normal life. War with Iran probably is not going to include days at the beach, is the reality of this situation. It would be a very, very different environment here. It would have significant strains on society, which you're not necessarily sure if, you know, if every citizen wants to bear that cost. Again, it depends who you ask here, but that's all part of this mix.
Yeah, and then final question for you, Robert. I know you are going nonstop over there 24/7. Does this embolden Benjamin Netanyahu, both in terms of obviously dealing with Iran, and I don't think they would be looking at any of the nuclear site targets. I don't think he's emboldened that far. But does it also embolden him in terms of what's going on inside of Gaza? Does this kind of give him a little bit of a reset?
Potentially, because, I mean, we've even seen the defense minister come out today. And, you know, I mean, there are photos of him meeting with his staff talking about what an invasion of Rafah would look like and how to evacuate civilians. I mean, that's as of today. It is so that side of the story has not gone away. I mean, obviously, we're talking about Iran right now. You know, but there's still very much so an active situation going on in Gaza. All signs are pointing to the fact that the Israelis remain committed to go into Rafah, root out Hamas, destroy them once and for all, and then get to the other side of that conflict there. I mean, obviously, you've heard from a lot of world leaders now, including the U.S., who are urging Israel to not do that. But all public sentiment points to that's a matter of when, not if.
Great perspective, as always. Best of the best, Robert Sherman, National Correspondent for News Nation, live from Tel Aviv. Robert, thanks so much for making time for us today. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Boyd. Always a pleasure.
All right, that's Robert Sherman, National Correspondent for News Nation. He does this as well as anybody in the business, and I always appreciate Robert's perspective because he gives you what you need to know so that you can start thinking and connecting the dots for yourself, and that's what it's all about. We'll step aside for some bottom-of-the-hour news. We're going to come back to this topic in hour number two and look at the implications right here in the U.S. Stay with us. We'll be right back.